Jackson Harding's Daughter by Joanna Trollope. Writing as Caroline Harvey. Dramatised in three parts by Eric Pringle, with Rebecca Egan, Charles Simpson, and Nicholas Leprevo. Part 3.
You look very fine, ma'am.
Why, thank you, Johnny. Coming from you.
You also look expensive. Who's paying for it?
The dress was a gift from Isabel.
Make the most of it. You'll not have another in a hurry.
Why haven't you brought me to this part of Calcutta before? It's beautiful. All the lights and... look! Fireworks!
God help us. Not their caterwauling music. I haven't come out to listen to that.
We're arriving. Oh, see the trees hung with lights and blossoms floating on the water. And look! Hundreds of servants with torches. Johnny, there's the Nawab's pleasure palace. Isn't that the most incredible building you've ever seen?
I just hope there's somebody here I can get drunk with.
Those domes are so high. You expect to see the stars. There must be 500 people here. Johnny, where are you? Dear, now what shall I do?
Are you admiring this?
I beg your pardon.
There's no pardon to beg. I observed you in the doorway. I was much gratified by what I saw.
I never saw anything as beautiful.
I am most pleased you like my house.
Your house? You are the Nawab of Fultar. Oh, please forgive me. I've just come to India and... should I have curtsied to you?
No. I don't wish it. You smile for me and that is enough.
You are most kind.
I am not kind. I am pleasing myself. It pleases me to give parties. It pleases me to hear music and drink wine. It pleases me to have ladies like flowers who admire my house.
Nawab, no one has ever said anything to me half so romantic as that. But the officers are so insistent.
So are you, cousin. You insisted I subject myself to this party, but it's the same boring face.
Not quite, cousin.
I shall stay for supper, but leave before the Naj. Good heavens.
What?
Who's that young woman talking to the Nawab?
I'm sure I don't know. Why?
Well, she's not a beauty in the accepted sense, but her face has distinction.
Has it?
She's all the colour of honey. Skin, dress, hair. And her hair is unpowdered and woven with flowers. She's quite unlike any woman I've ever met. She's really listening to the Nawab. That's unusual in itself. Excuse me for a moment, Isabel. Lady Renton will look after you.
Now then, Caroline.
Might you be interested in Mughal history?
I would, Nawab, very much.
May I interrupt?
Sir Edward, please excuse me.
I beg you not to go. I hope that Nawab will forgive me if I admit I've come to speak to the lady and not to him.
Not at all, Sir Edward. I see I have two guests who will be happy. Young lady, may I persuade you to stay for the Naj?
The Naj?
You have never seen a Naj you haven't lived. I have the most graceful girls in India to dance for you. Isn't it true, Sir Edward?
It's quite true, Nawab. If you stay, I'll stay.
I should like to, but I really must...
I am delighted. Sir Edward, you will look after this charming lady at supper.
If she will allow me, you will stay.
I should tell you who I am, Sir Edward. I'm Caroline Gates. I came out on the seahorse with your cousin. You've forbidden her to visit me.
I must be mad.
You were very angry with Isabel for inviting me tonight. I don't want to embarrass you further.
Take my arm, Caroline Gates. Let us have supper together. Tell me why you're in Calcutta.
I came to marry.
And did you?
Yes, I did.
I don't give a fig for that.
But it's how things are.
Maybe. Do you miss Dorset?
Not sure. Things were difficult for me there. But sometimes... Today I was in the garden with Amali, trying to learn what I can expect to grow in the cool season. And suddenly I ached for a windy October day with driving clouds and yellow leaves.
You're as remarkable as you look. I know no woman in India who bothers with her garden herself or takes the trouble to learn from the Mali. I know nobody, man or woman, who in 10 years has been able to make me feel homesick, as you've just done. Do you want to go home?
Since my father died, I haven't one to go to. The house is there, but not what is necessary.
I understand you.
Do you?
Absolutely. I have a house in Herefordshire. I haven't missed in 10 years because there's no one there to return to, and I have no one to take back to it. It's simply a house.
Yes. That's it. Exactly.
You don't powder your hair. I hate powdered hair. At this moment, I have an enormous desire to thread my finger through that loose curl lying on your shoulder just there. You wear no jewelry.
I possess none.
Your flowers are perfect. Will you eat nothing?
I'm not hungry. There are too many meals here.
You're too thin. You mustn't be too thin. You must look after yourself. I insist.
Well, Buxby, I suppose half Calcutta knows who I spent last evening with.
Probably, Sir Edward.
So, what news do you have for me?
Ah, there, sir, I have a confession.
Yes, just give me the information.
John Gates is the nephew of Lord Lennox of Stoke Park in Dorsetshire, sir. It seems he was a reprobate as a boy, and after a skirmish with Lord Lennox's eldest daughter, was sent off to India. His ways appear to be unchanged.
Why do I recollect a Lennox?
That bears on my confession, sir. May I say, I have never since exceeded my duty in
I such... expect you to exceed your duty. What use is a secretary without a head on his shoulders?
Very good, sir. Some time ago, Lady Lennox wished for your opinion on a matter. I gave it to her.
What matter?
She asked if you knew any reason why the daughter of the incumbent of the living in her gift, a Miss Caroline Harding, should not marry John Gates. I replied that I knew of no impediment.
You said you knew no reason why an innocent girl shouldn't marry a blackguard? How dare you presume so without consulting me?
I did consult you, sir.
You did?
But I don't think the matter concerned you then as nearly as it does now.
Take me with you. When was this?
The winter before last. Lady Lennox's letter came on an unfortunate morning.
Why unfortunate?
It is difficult to remind you, sir. It was the morning you were not yourself.
Well, yes, that morning. Good God, Buxby. Are you saying that I allowed Caroline Harding to be sent here like a lamb to the slaughter?
Well, sir, I wouldn't put it...
I must make amends. Those eyes, that face will not be squandered on a reprobate, especially since I want her myself. Convention may have to be flouted, Buxby. If I trapped her into this marriage, it's up to me to open the cage and release her, isn't it?
Beg pardon, sir.
Find Miss Grant for me. I need her talents.
I'm begging Memsab's pardon.
What is it, Ranjit?
Sahib Gates has not come home, Memsab.
Did no one see him leave the palace last night?
One is thinking he saw him go with Sahib Karu.
Then send someone to Sahib Karu, please.
Yes, Memsab. Memsab, there is waiting the moneylender from the bazaar.
Oh, heavens, I'd forgotten. Don't let him in.
Rami, I hate my wife, I love you.
I gave you gold, don't I? I'll give you more. Ronnie.
Sarpgates is quite well, Ranjit. Oh. I'll have him home before nightfall. Tell Mensab not to worry about her Johnny boy.
Chesap.
Yeah.
I understand, Ranjit. I'll dine alone, but not until 4. I shall do some painting in my room to calm my mind.
Mensab.
Thank you for going to Sahib Karu's yourself. And thank you for what you've left unsaid. I don't want to paint India. I shall paint England. A tuft of young bracken uncurling from damp earth. Tiny iridescent snails. A spider's web spangled with dewdrops. A ladybird for colour and everything rising out of a mossy cushion. All I need is a piece of ivory and my paints.
Mrs. Gates! Oh, Caroline, dearie!
Mrs. Rathbone!
I couldn't wait to be announced. I'm so excited.
Has something happened?
Has something? My dear, you're the talk of Calcutta. Sir Edward Ashton, of all people.
Oh.
He never pays the slightest attention to anybody, but they say he didn't take his eyes from you once. What a triumph.
I know you mean to congratulate me.
I do, dearie, I do.
But really, I've hardly had time to think about it myself. Last night was very precious to me, and I don't want it to be public property.
Oh, very well, dear. Have it your own way. But what are you doing in your room at this hour? I thought you were our early bird, putting the rest of us to shame. Oh, you're painting. Oh, may I see? Mm. Why, it's a miniature. Oh, Caroline, it's lovely. I had no notion you had such a talent. This reminds me so of England I could weep. Oh, I wonder, would you paint one for a friend as a very great favour?
I can't afford to do that. But I'd paint one for purchase.
Oh, hard-headed creature.
Not by nature, Mrs. Rathbone. By necessity.
Are you short of money, dear?
Yes, I am.
Does Johnny keep you short? What shall you do?
Until this moment, I hadn't a notion. But you've given me an idea. I'll sell miniatures.
Oh.
Calcutta is so full of idleness and money. I'm sure I'd find a market if you'd help me. Would you show my work to your friends?
I would. Oh, what a wise head you have on your shoulders. What, we may start a fashion for mementos of England. I'm sure I could get 4 guineas apiece.
If you can. For every 10 I sell, I'll paint an 11th for you as a gift.
I shall ask 5 guineas. That's no more than a hairdresser's bill, and you need the money.
I do.
I'd better go and let you get started. Oh, I almost forgot. This letter arrived just as I did, so I brought it up. Now, goodbye, dear, and good luck.
My dearest friend, Sir Edward bids me to invite
you and Mr. Gates to dine with us tomorrow. I warn you, he is in no frame of mind to accept a refusal. Tell Mr. Gates I shall give him amusing companions if he needs a lure to come to a house where his wife will be made so rapturously welcome. We dine at 2 and will be eagerly looking out for you.
He's asked for me. He's asked for me!
Let me help you down.
Thank you.
I thought you'd failed me.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. My husband, he went out this morning and hasn't come back. He sent no word. So, I came by myself.
I thank you for that.
Sir Edward, you're still holding my hand.
I am. I wish to kiss it. Let me look at you.
People are staring.
Let them. I'm going to have to share you with a dozen others.
Isabel has arranged it because she says I have the social instincts of a hermit. Shall we go in? I wish the government would keep its nose out of East India Company affairs.
Perhaps it smells the French drawing near.
Perhaps it envies our Mughal princes and their lives of voluptuous splendour.
Voluptuous splendour.
You're absorbed. Tell me your thoughts.
I was trying to reassure myself this was real.
Strange. I was doing the same about you.
If Sir Edward will pardon me. Mrs. Gates, we've given you time to compose yourself. Now I propose to test you.
Oh, you'll do no such thing, John.
I sense a challenge, Sir Edward. Please, let Mr. Eyre speak.
You're a fortunate man, John, but no insolence.
I simply wish to know from Mrs. Gates if certain rumours are true.
Rumours, Mr. Eyre?
I gather you're the most intrepid person here. You've been seen in the native bazaar, attended by only one servant. Perhaps you're unaware that it is hardly customary for an Englishwoman to enter the bazaar. Perhaps you're equally unaware that it's not expected that an Englishwoman shall meddle with her servants' lives, dose their children, teach them English, interfere with their living habits, and be on terms with them, which can only be described as familiar.
I said there was to be no insolence. You've exceeded yourself, Mr. Eyre. Get out.
No, please, Sir Edward, you mustn't dismiss him. Everything Mr. Eyre says is true. It's only that the interpretation I put upon my actions is wholly different from his.
I have every faith in your interpretation.
Oh. Well, let's hear it then.
This country is not ours, Mr. Eyre, that we may plunder it and use it to our advantage. Many Indians may profit from our being here, but it isn't ours. It seemed to me, arriving as a complete novice, that I would only understand India through the Indians. We English live a parasite's life here. I didn't wish to do that. But how do I know if Indians resent my presence? It seems to me that the humblest way to live here, for me, I don't speak of men of affairs, is to let India teach me herself. But how do I do that if I don't even know my servants, the people who are closest to me? How do I learn not to offend them if I don't know how they live and farm and pray?
Mrs. Gates.
Wait.
And if I come to the conclusion that I like and admire them, and that there are ways I can help their children to be less sickly, or make their problems of speaking to their employers less difficult, why should I deliberately hold back that help because I'm English and they are Indian? They help me immeasurably. May I not return some of that help? If you disapprove of such opinions, Mr. Eyre, I can't help it. But I could wish for India's sake that your mind were not so narrow. I'm sorry. I've no right to judge.
Well spoken, Caroline.
I surrender completely, Mrs. Gates. I have nothing but admiration for your spirit. Will you accept my apologies?
Gladly. Sir Edward, you're not speaking. I hope I haven't offended you.
You're matchless, Caroline Gates. Matchless.
You're a miserable, long-nosed stick insect. How dare you go without me? I had to dine alone. But you promised to look after me. You promised to make me comfortable.
I'm going to my room for a while. I don't want to be disturbed.
I don't want to be disturbed. Don't you, ma'am? Don't you? I wouldn't disturb you with a brass handle. I'm talking to you. Listen to me. You bitch. Bitch. Open the bloody door.
Caroline, you're hardly the same person. If I didn't know better, I'd say the monsoon rains were good for you. You're blooming. You know, my cousin is quite disgustingly in love with you. I take all the credit, of course.
Yes.
You know, my dear, it's become quite the fashion to have a collection of your anonymous miniatures to remind us of England. And the other day, I even sold 2 dormice and a bunch of primroses to an Indian harem. But I'm sure you've something more important than painting on your mind, eh? Is it love, dear?
Do you mind me staring at you so? I can't help myself. This is so very strange for me.
For me too, Edward. I've been so lonely. And these have been the happiest weeks of my life. But I'm surprised we're allowed to meet like this. Hmm. After all, I am a married woman.
Calcutta is so immoral that after the first few days, nobody takes any notice. Besides, nobody expects liaisons to last more than a few weeks.
And don't they?
Some last forever. Caroline, will you tell me your history? I want to know everything about you. Everything.
I'll challenge him to a duel.
You look a damn fool, Johnny boy. You're no cuckold for a start. All Calcutta will tell you is done no more than kiss her hand. Deuced if I know what they're up to, but it ain't what you're up to 7 nights a week, eh? Like now.
I look a fool already. She's never with me and everybody knows where she is.
You don't want her with you. You only shout at her when she is. You don't lust after at all, do you?
Certainly not. Come here.
Oh, then leave her be. Why shouldn't she have a bit of fun? Besides, it'll be over by Christmas.
What are you doing?
Now the monsoon is over, the Marley and I are planting flowers. Isabel, what's the matter?
I have terrible news. I'm to go back to England on the very next ship.
No, Isabel. Why?
Oh, because of a stupid war.
What war?
Edward and Warren Hastings think war will break out soon between us and the French. Edward says Calcutta is safe for the moment, but if war does come...
Oh, Isabel.
If war comes, the seas won't be safe. And later, Calcutta may not be safe either. If I don't get Isabel home, I'll have failed in my guardianship.
But she's opened up such a life for me, Edward. She means so much to me.
I shall see you're not too desolate.
Edward, you must take care of this angel for me.
Goodbye, my dearest friend.
A safe voyage. You'll come home soon yourself, won't you? And then we can be together again. You're to bring her to England, Edward. Promise.
The boat is waiting for you.
Kiss me, Caroline.
Inviting me, Mr. Eyre.
Not at all, Mrs. Gates.
John knows that with Isabel gone, our chances of meeting aren't as frequent as they were. You're a good friend. You promised to tell me tonight how you came to India.
I will. What's happening?
My wife has bought one of those English miniatures that are all the rage. Cowslips. She's showing it off.
Isn't it charming? I can't discover where these come from, but they're exquisitely done.
Do you buy them in Calcutta, Mrs. Eyre?
Yes, I do, through friends. Would you like one?
Let me buy you one.
Oh, no, you mustn't, really.
Why are you laughing?
I can't tell you. One day I will, but not now.
I don't like riddles. Let's have supper, and I want to talk to you seriously.
Well, good evening to you, Mrs. Gates.
Mr. Carew, I didn't think to see you here.
I thought I'd see you.
Who the devil was that?
My husband's best friend.
They'll set up tables for cards next. I don't want to play. I want to hear more of your outrageous story about that damnable Lady Lennox. Come over by the window. Now, what proof have you that Lady Lennox had any legal right to withhold an inheritance from John Gates?
Proof? Why, Johnny told me. He had a letter. She said if he didn't marry me, he wouldn't...
Have you seen no legal document, no lawyer's letter even?
Are you saying we've been duped?
I have no proof of that. Oh, God damn her for abusing you so.
You must think me so incompetent.
No. I wouldn't change you for the world. Caroline, I didn't know a woman like you existed. I've waited all these months to tell you my feelings because I was afraid to alarm you, but I can't wait any longer. Do you mind?
Of course I don't mind.
Then let me kiss you. Kiss me. If you knew how I've longed to do that.
Edward, are you sure about this? Really sure?
I was never more sure of anything in my life.
But I'm so very plain.
How can you possibly be plain when I love so to look at you? You're fragile and delicate and lovely and... I've had it very difficult to keep my hands from you.
And I from you. Oh, how I wish...
I'll grant that wish, whatever it is.
Oh, my dear, if only you could... But you cannot. I wish I wasn't married. It's too late. I'm not freed.
Come to me, Caroline. Come now and live with me as my wife. You'll be mine in everything but the eyes of the law. Later we'll obtain a divorce for you, and the world will be satisfied. I don't give one anna for its opinion of myself, but I want it to treat you as you deserve.
Edward, we cannot.
Well, that's what Warren Hastings has done. You see how simple it is. Caroline, from now on, no woman will be as prized as you.
No, Edward.
What do you mean, no?
Let me go, please.
I don't understand. Does convention trouble you? Do you think anyone in Calcutta cares for that? If it disturbs you, I'll build you a palace outside the city.
It isn't that.
Well, what is it, then? Go on, explain it to me.
You've taken me by surprise. I can't leave Johnny. He's so weak and helpless, and I can't let myself become your possession. Just when I've gained some independence.
Independence? Caroline, if you live with me, you can have any freedom you want.
I can't.
You don't care for me, hmm? What was it? Were you flattered by my attention?
I care so much.
Then where are the tears, madam?
I cannot. Edward, please.
You're in love with yourself. You don't want a man's love because you can't give it back.
People are staring at us. I must go. Let me go.
If your coldness is the price of freedom, you can keep your liberty.
Oh, Mr. Carew.
Mrs. Gates, you're shaking. What's up?
Will you take me home? Now? Please.
I will, ma'am. I will.
Your garden is burgeoning, Caroline.
Unlike me, Bella. I'm withering.
You should get out, dear. You never get out. I've worried about you stuck here all winter, painting every hour there is. You look so tired.
I am tired. But the pictures keep me busy.
They say Sir Edward looks tired too. Drawn. Desolated.
Bella, I've made such a dreadful mistake.
I think you have, dear.
I thought I was making a stand.
A stand? For what, dear?
All sorts of things. Honour, self-respect, loyalty and virtue, independence.
Oh, those.
I thought it was a noble gesture, but it wasn't. It was stupid pride, and it's cost me a lifetime's happiness.
Oh, come, come, we all make mistakes, don't we? I've made many myself, some of them very enjoyable. So we mustn't brood, we mustn't give way, we must put the mistakes behind us. There are plenty of fish in the sea, and whatever we've done once we can do again, can't we?
You are kind to me, Bella.
Oh, with Miss Grant gone, who else are you to confide in? Now, what are we going to do to cheer you up? You need another friend, a companion.
Companion?
Listen. I've a friend, a nice boy, a soldier. Lieutenant Frank Wheeler. He's being sent across to Poona under Colonel Leslie to fight the French. 6 battalions are going.
What about him?
Well, Frank has a wife, a serious, pretty little thing who's just come out from England, and a baby. They've nowhere to go while he's away. Why don't you have them here? Anne will suit you. And just think of a baby to play with.
I'd love to have a baby here.
But, Johnny...
Would you like me to ask him, dear? So he thinks he's the first to know, and then you can both meet Anne at my house.
Frank will settle about our expenses, Mrs. Gates.
I'm sure it will be satisfactory, Mrs. Wheeler.
I must have the money to pay for the extra servants we'll need to look after you.
I pay the servants, Johnny.
I will have it.
Don't be naughty, Johnny.
I know where it will go. To the whist table and your other pleasures.
Damn you.
Oh, have it all. Squabbling like this in front of Mrs. Wheeler.
May I suggest, my dears, if Frank were to give half to Johnny in a lump sum before he goes, and Anne were to give the other half to Caroline in weekly amounts, how would that be?
Damn cheek.
Please forgive me, Anne, for this shameless penny-pinching. I'd give anything to be able to offer you our house as guests.
I prefer it this way, Mrs. Gates. I wouldn't want to depend on charity. And Frank could be away for months.
Caroline, dearie, it's lovely to have you call, just to see you out at last.
It's all your doing, Bella. That's why I've come, to thank you.
Do you suit one another, dear?
Wonderfully well. Anne is such a sweet, serious person. And baby Frances is adorable.
Are you quieter in your mind now?
I think. A little. But I don't know what I should do without the baby.
I've something to tell you, Caroline. I've met Sir Edward Ashton.
Oh, no. Please, Bella, don't talk about
him. You must hear me out, dear. I met him at Mrs. Eyre's. I was delivering your paintings, and there he was. I thought he looked so worn, reserved too, as if he was shielding himself. Shielding his heart, you know.
Don't, Bella. Nothing is any use now. So please don't mention his name again. I'll never heal if you do. Because just mentioning his name opens up everything, all the wounds. I must go. Anne is rehearsing tonight.
Rehearsing?
She's playing in the quartet, giving the musical soiree at Mrs. Hastings' house. Rehearsing takes her out a good deal. She's away all night sometimes.
But, my dear...
She lets me look after Frances. I'm so glad of that. So very glad.
Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. I hope you're not referring to that old banyan tree under your bedroom window, Caroline. It isn't about to collapse, is it?
I should hope not. Oh, Anne, look at your son. Isn't he delightful?
Oh, I do love him so.
He loves you. But I worry we're exploiting you. This concert takes up so much time.
How can you be exploiting me when I love it?
Well... Thank you for my freedom.
Thank you. Frances takes my mind from myself.
And your painting.
I don't care. I'm tired of it. Anyway, the demand is dwindling. Soon it will dry up.
What will you do then?
I daren't think. So I think about Frances instead.
He protects me from my fate.
Found it. She's ganged up with you against me. I'm driven out by a pack of malicious women and a squalling brat.
You never come in until morning, if you come home at all. I hear you crashing about and cursing the servants. You hardly eat here. You're never sober. You don't ask how I manage.
Oh, damn you to hell. Don't start on that again. You don't care whether I'm here or not.
Isn't that what you wanted? All the comforts and none of the commitment.
This is my house! Not that woman's, not the drivelling midgets, and not yours, you harpy!
Are you going out again tonight?
What do you suppose? Oh, curse your eyes, woman!
Shh. Hush, Frances. Mummy's playing in her big concert tonight. She'll come back in the morning, and the monster is away.
Come in.
Sahib Karu is here, Mem Sahib.
Show him in, Ranjit.
Oh, good God, ma'am, you're pale. You ain't unwell, I hope.
I don't think so. Though I will be relieved when the monsoon breaks. What can I do for you?
You might produce your husband. We're late for
this. He hasn't been home for 2 nights.
Haven't you sent servants to look for him?
I have not. It's hardly the first time. Johnny only comes home to change his linen these days.
So you don't think this is cause for concern? Is a wife to show no care for a husband? Mightn't he come home more if he had more to come home to?
Mr. Carew, if this house is empty for my husband, it is because he's made it so himself. Everything about it, even the fact I'm here at all, has been arranged to suit his monstrous selfishness.
Beg pardon, ma'am. I've no notice.
Haven't you? Well, you will have. Mr. Carew, I have a small talent which pays for all household expenses. That's just as well, because I haven't received a penny from your precious friend since I married him. Not a penny. Not a flower, not a ribbon. The only money he's ever spent on me was £40 for the marriage licence. And I'm sure in his eternal desire for pity, he told you the reason for the marriage in the first place.
Ma'am, I...
He scorns me, he insults me. So why should I care what sordid end he comes to? If you care what happens to him, you may find him. I will not lift a finger.
I hadn't realised. I mean, I'm sure... Damn bad business, eh?
That's exactly what it is.
I'll fetch him home for you, ma'am.
Is Mrs. Gates asleep, Ranjit?
I'm believing so, sir.
Will you give me a hand with it? Oh, it's sick! Watch it! It's slippery! Oh, he's sick!
George! You found him.
Sorry, I woke you.
I wasn't asleep. Oh. Why, he's soaked in sweat. And delirious. Where was he?
Lying on a heap of bottles in a boarding house on the waterfront. Seems he drank for a day and a night. When he passed out, they tossed him in a corner. Looks like he has fever.
Take Mr. Gates to his room, please, Ranjit. He must be sponged with warm water, put in fresh linen and covered lightly.
Mem Sahib.
Will you have me fetch a physician?
I know you expect me to nurse him myself, but I can't do it. Look at him. Smell him. Yes, George, a doctor if you please.
You must be very firm with your husband. His liver is in danger. Give him this medicine every 4 hours and light foods, but no wine at all.
That will be difficult to achieve.
You women know how to gain your ends. He'll not refuse if you plead your case in a feminine way. Now, don't worry if he suffers from needing alcohol. Let him sweat it out.
Get me a carrot! Champagne wine, Daniel!
The doctor said...
Liar! I know what you're up to. You're trying to kill me by depriving me of everything I need. You're gloating over my pain.
I'm looking after you.
Just you wait, you mealy-mouthed pig. When I'm gone, you'll not see a penny of Gates money or Lennox money. Get me wine!
He must be kept away from the bottles in the dining room, Ranjit. Please instruct the servants.
You are looking tired, Mem Sahib. There is no need for you to be watching. We are watching. A sentry will sleep at the door.
That's kind, Ranjit. I left the baby in my room and I should go back to him. Good night.
Good night, Mem Sahib.
What are you doing? You're trying to strangle me!
I am making you comfortable, sir.
Did you say that? That damn bitch! He's killing me!
No, sir.
Get him! Oh, God. What time is it? I can't see anything.
Oh, my head.
Sab, you must be staying in bed.
Swan. I'll show you. I'll show you all of you. Especially the bitch. Wine. Where's the food? Where's the wine? I need a light. Candles. Where's that candle?
To me, and I can try to. Oh, Francis, the blessed air. Breathe it, darling. Oh, Francis, dear, don't struggle so. We have to climb out onto the banyan tree. It's so high. Francis, please. If you ride like that, you'll have us down. Now, easy. Onto the branch. Good. There. Now we're on the branch. But I don't know how to move. That's the branch below. If I grip them with my toes, I can move towards the trunk, see? Forward. Oh, the house is going. Francis, I'm going dizzy. I can't.
Minta! Minta, this way! Look this way!
Ranjit?
I am here for Baba. I am here, so close. Look to where my arms. If you are moving forward, just a little.
Ranjit?
Yes, Minta. Now you are moving. I am touching Baba. I am touching you. Here. You are safe now. Quite safe. All is being safe.
I've brought you a fresh cup of tea, dear. The other went cold. I've put it beside your bed. Try to drink it. Please, dear. Oblivious, Anne. Quite oblivious. She just lies there with her eyes open, not seeing, not hearing, not moving.
Has she said anything?
Not a word. When Ranjit called me and I went to collect them from the garden and he picked her up as if she was a baby herself, it was most improper, you know. She was filthy, dirty and half naked, and he lifted her so tenderly into the carriage. Well, even then she was oblivious. I hardly recognised her. I hardly recognise her now. Look at those great smudged empty eyes. I talk to her. I tell her to have a good cry. But many's the time I've calmed my feelings with a good cry. I say it does you no good to bottle things up inside. I could be talking to a brick wall.
Let me try. Dearest Caroline, it's me, Anne. I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for Francis, for what you did. I owe you so much. My life would have been ruined if... You were so brave. Everybody says so. Caroline, talk to me.
Doctor, it's been 4 days and she's like a...
Now, there's nothing to be anxious about. Mrs. Gates is suffering from shock and strain. I would say strain over a long period.
Well, yes, she has. She's been under...
Give her light nourishment and let her rise when she will. Rest is the best medicine.
Well, that's easy to say, isn't it? I have broths and custards taken to her constantly, but she hardly touches them. If only she'd speak to me. I wonder if she knows I'm there. Because if her eyes weren't open, I'd hardly believe she was alive.
It can't be grief for her husband, can it?
I don't think so. When I told her how George Carew had taken care of the funeral arrangements, there wasn't a sign she'd heard me.
Johnny was a brute, wasn't he?
No, dear. He was a foolish and self-indulgent boy. But Caroline was too good for him by many a mile. Mm. Oh, she deserves such love. Do you know Ranjit will not leave her? Mr. Rathbone has found employment for all her servants, but he won't go. He says he wants no wages, only to serve her. That's the kind of creature she is.
I'd like to sit with her, Bella. Oh,
by all means, dear. Though much good may it do.
Caroline! You're up and dressed. Caroline? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. I've heard everything.
Then why didn't you...
I've come full circle, Anne. I've been lying here trying to make sense of it all.
All this time? Oh, give me your hand. Will you tell me?
I'll try. Oh, Anne, for years I've struggled to make something of my life. Once or twice I even thought to be happy. But I made mistakes. One of them cost me... No, that's history now. I've travelled all this way, and I'm back where I started. I have nowhere to go except back to what I left behind.
Why do you think so sadly? There are many who'd value your companionship. Bella, Isabel, me...
No, Anne. Oh, forgive me for sounding ungrateful. But the worst thing about me is that I've always wanted to work out my own salvation. Isabel said I have a stiff-necked bride. She was right. It isn't as stiff as it was, but it's all I have left. Don't worry about me. I'll find myself a position as an old lady's companion, which is what I always thought I must come to in the end.
You're very difficult to help.
I know.
Is there nothing I can do?
You do it already. You give me affection. So you see, there's nothing to be sad about. Your baby is safe, and I am free. Though I shudder to think how Johnny... I'd like to see George Carew. Bella says he's been very kind. I wanted to thank you.
It was nothing, ma'am.
It was a great deal, George. And nobody else was going to do it. I don't know how to express
my... I'd rather you don't try, you know.
Did anyone attend the funeral? I didn't know it was to take place, otherwise...
I never meant you to know, ma'am. Had to shove the old rogue off quickly in this climate. There's no point in you knowing.
Was no one there?
No, ma'am.
Not from the company, no one at all.
Just myself, ma'am.
That's so sad.
not so sad. There was nothing left.
You've spared me so much. Thank you for that, from the bottom of my heart.
Better I than you, Mum.
Yes, you're right. Better in every way.
Goodbye, Mum.
Caroline, dear, I've had the tailor take in this blue dress for you especially. You must be sick to death of that old red hanging from you. And this will be much nicer to see callers in.
I don't want to see any callers.
Oh, such a shy thing you are. And everyone wanting to admire you for your courage. Now, my dear, will you not put on this blue dress to please me?
What's the matter?
Nothing, dear.
You seem anxious. There's no need. I'm quite used to these clothes. And since there's no one to see me, it doesn't matter how I look.
No one to see... Well, I can't be blamed.
What are you talking about?
Nothing at all. Now, my dear, would you oblige me by waiting in the drawing room while the servants turn out your room? Would you wait there now?
Very well. You're acting very strangely, Bella.
In you go, dear.
Edward... Sir Edward, how...
I fear you are the victim of a scheme.
Yes, it seems so. Mrs. Rathbone wanted me to change, but I refused.
I hope you aren't angry.
I'm surprised.
But not angry?
Of course not.
I hear heroic things of you.
Oh, no, please. Anyone would have done it.
That's nonsense.
No, really... I am obliged to you for calling, Sir Edward.
Obliged? Well, you see, I wish to offer... that is, you suffered a great deal, and I wanted to show my sympathy. Admiration.
Thank you.
Good Lord, this is... what are your plans? Can I assist you? Do you need a passage to England?
I'll be returning to England, certainly, but... I have everything I...
What do you intend to do in England? Perhaps I could help you there.
You're very good, but I'll manage. I can return to my sister in Dorset for a while and then... Oh, Edward! Edward!
Let me hold you. I want to hold you. I must. I've wanted to for so long. All this time, every day and every night. You'll never leave me again, do you hear? If I have to chain you to me...
Will you forgive me?
There's nothing to... Everything is past now, finished, forgotten. A new life starts here. Here, look at me. Lift up your head.
That must look terrible. I'm so ashamed. I haven't cried for 20 years.
You are a uniquely absurd woman. Utterly courageous, quite remarkable, and mine...
Oh, yes, Edward. Yours.
Always? Say it. Always?
Always.
I should preserve these tears. They're unique, too, because you'll never cry again. I shall see to that personally.
Such a surprise visit. I thought you were still in India. But you were never one for formalities and social graces, were you? Caroline? Is this really you?
Indeed it is, Lady Lennox. I wanted to advise you of my return to England.
You're looking very grand. Expensively grand. Is that your carriage outside? It must have cost a fortune to hire. I hope widowhood hasn't caused you to take leave of your senses and rashly anticipate an inheritance which will not be coming to you.
Oh, is that so, Lady Lennox?
India has given you heirs quite above your station. You must realize that with Johnny's death, all monies revert to the Lennoxes. You will have nothing, Caroline.
Damnation, Caroline, I'll not sit by and listen to this monstrous woman for a second longer.
Who are you, sir?
My name is Ashton, madam.
Explain yourself, Ashton. What do you mean by hiding in
Edward
my...
Edward Ashton, madam. Sir Edward Ashton.
Sir Edward? What, of Ashton Court in Herefordshire? That Sir Edward Ashton?
The same, madam.
But why are you here with Caroline Harding?
Lady Lennox, I have come to present my wife to you.
Wife? Caroline? You mean Caroline is your
Lady
wife?
Lady Ashton, madam. Lady Ashton, if you please.
Well, I'm speechless.
This is a day for surprises. Since you're so eager to know, Lady Lennox, the carriage is mine and my husband's. And this gown is entirely mine.
But how?
Love, madam.
I don't understand.
Of course you don't. It's so simple it's beyond your comprehension. Your mind works in much more devious ways, doesn't it?
I beg your pardon.
I am aware of your despicable scheming which drove an innocent girl into a disgraceful marriage. What? I'm here to tell you that you're going to pay for it.
Pay?
Every penny that is rightfully my wife's by inheritance from her late husband, John Gates.
Oh, not one.
If you try to prevent it, if you so much as whisper opposition, I'll fight you tooth and nail. In the courts, if necessary. And I'll make sure the entire country knows what you've done and the kind of woman you are. You're a disgrace, madam. A disgrace. Come, Caroline, my darling.
Edward, you're magnificent.
Shall we go home?
Oh, yes, dear Edward. Let's go home.
The part of Caroline was played by Rebecca Egan and Sir Edward Ashton by Nicholas Leprevost. Johnny Gates, Charles Simpson. Bella Rathbone, Jilly Mears. George Carew, Stephen Critchlow. Isabel Grant, Emma Gregory. Anne Wheeler, Monica Dolan. Ranjit, Sam Dastor. The Nawab of Fultar, Badi Uzaman. Ralph Buxby, Andrew Wincott. John Eyre, Gavin Muir, Lady Lennox, Jennifer Hillary, with Tessa Worsley and John Hartley. Parson Harding's Daughter by Joanna Trollope, writing as Caroline Harvey, was dramatised by Eric Pringle and directed by Jane Morgan.